Hello and welcome to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. If you enjoy our podcasts, please tell your colleagues and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Enjoy!
Hi there. Welcome to the 10th COVID catch-up. Having made it to 10, I thought it would be worth reflecting on some of the things that I've discussed over the last couple of months, still keeping to the communication, organisation, vital signs, interventions and dilemmas acronym, COVID of course. With communication, there's kind of been two big things. One is the actual practical difficulties of communication and discussing how we communicate in stressful situations. Some of that led to a discussion on masks and actually how masks themselves have revealed an ongoing disadvantage to some members of the healthcare community, both professionals and patients, those that are deaf. And there are a lot of things that I think we've taken for granted that COVID has really brought to light. And it's been interesting to see some of that come out, because COVID has allowed that discussion to take place. And as we move forward, regardless of whether we're in full PPE or not, some of the tools that have been produced via COVID in terms of team dynamics, in terms of how we gesticulate, i.e. using hand signals, I think will continue to be used regardless of whether it's a pandemic or not. And then the other big communication change has been the use of virtual communication. And by that, I mean the widespread use of Zoom, Teams and other methodologies to remove the need for face-to-face meetings. I think it is worth remembering that all of these technologies existed before the pandemic. None of them are particularly innovative. And it has really been only their necessity that has brought them to the fore. How much do we do in our practice that is actually a really useful, innovative tool that exists already and that we just don't use because there's not been that burning platform to push it into the regular psyche? It will be interesting to ponder how much isn't being used at the moment, whether that's a technology or a treatment or a way of providing a service that could just be implemented and would provide benefit should that magic need occur. And why is it that we need a pandemic to revolutionize something that we're doing, given the fact actually that that process already exists? In terms of organization, it's worth thinking now as we, I don't want to use the term go back to normal, because I don't think there is going to be a normal return to. And I don't think certainly we should be looking at some methods and pathways of doing things which may previously have felt to have been effective, but actually in hindsight could have been removed. The use of review clinics, the use of regular outpatient clinics, just because they're felt to be necessary, all of these things probably can be removed. Organisations really need to take heed to this, because it will be a disaster if the organisational principle, whether that's at a departmental, hospital or regional or even national level, is a default, well, let's see how quickly we can go back to doing the way we've always done things. As we know, if things are done in a certain way, you're always going to get the results that you expect to get. And I think it's really important that all of us stand up for the things that we believe don't need to go back to normal, as well as the things that we do need to deliver that will improve patient care. In relevance to vital signs, clearly this new inflammatory condition is still being reported, but the extent of its spread, I think, is reassuringly low. So clearly there are some pockets and populations which are affected, but there was a nervousness, I think, previously that this was a byproduct of COVID infection in children, and perhaps we would see ever escalating numbers since the first reports came in a month ago. I don't get that sense in my own department, and I'm not sure I'm getting that sense from national reports I'm reading. But I do think it is important that we keep on our guard. And as I've discussed previously, the important thing about this new condition is it's clear, overt inflammatory process. And this isn't a case of bleeding every child who comes in with a prolonged fever, but it's just taking that extra second or two to think about if you're discharging a case or that you're putting that patient on a particular patient pathway of thinking, could this be something a little different? In interventions, in the adult world, you may have seen that the recovery trial showed that there did seem to be a particularly significant reduction in mortality when dexamethasone was used. On social media, there were a lot of paediatricians going, we've been using dexamethasone for years. But the time will tell how impactful that is in our paediatric population. There is a recovery equivalent in children, but the low numbers of children who are severely affected by COVID, I think, are going to mean it's quite difficult to pin a particularly new treatment down on, especially for younger infants and children. Teenagers may fall into the adult group. And dilemmas. There was a really interesting report by the Nuffield Trust entitled "Where Are the Patients? The Factors Affecting the Use of Emergency Care During COVID-19. The fascinating point they raised was that in Australia, which has suffered relatively few deaths from COVID-19, there is also some evidence of a drop in mortality, and they think this is associated with the cessation of routine medical work, which is an extremely sobering thought. So as we move into the height of summer, where we would normally expect to see a reduction in paediatric attendances across the board, both in hospitals and emergency departments, we need to start thinking about how we are going to prepare for winter. Please do look out for the Don't Forget the Bubbles webinar on Thursday, the 25th of June at 11 a.m. at GMT. You can find registration via the website and via normal social media channels. And I'll catch up with you soon with some of the feedback from that event and some of the other interesting information that I think that's coming about in regard to how organisations are going to approach the winter period. It is going to potentially be an especially challenging winter if we need to maintain some of the suspected and non-suspected flows, despite the fact that we might see a huge surge in presentations for all forms of viral illness. Look forward to chatting soon.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. Remember, you can subscribe to our feed on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you for listening.